Hi, I'm Andrew Hattersley. I'm a physician from Exeter in the UK, and I'm going to talk to you about monogenic diabetes and what we've learned at the ADA and what's new. I think the most important thing to take away is a new study done in America by the Search Group, and what they showed was that of the monogenic diabetes that's in pediatric clinics in America, 93% of them are not recognized. They're diagnosed, they're misdiagnosed as type 1 or type 2 diabetes. And that really matters, because what that resulted in was that these children were on the wrong treatment. And it really matters that you find your people with monogenic diabetes. Now, this is difficult because there's very little training in it. It's a modern area. It tends to be in the genetic section where nobody goes. So what we need is for clinicians to realize that there are different types of diabetes from type 1 and type 2. The way I like to think about it is that there are some very specific common subtypes that you should be looking out for. The first one is glucokinase. Now, this is fascinating because they're just people who have their blood glucose reset at a higher level. So, in fact, they're born with a glucose that runs between 100 and 150 typical milligrams per deciliter, and that's there for all their life. So they're born with a high blood glucose and it stays high, but it is regulated. So they don't actually go on and get type 2 diabetes. They just stay with a high regulated fasting blood glucose. What that means is that they're often picked up as incidental findings. It's actually 60% of incidental hyperglycemia in the pediatric age range, but also in gestational diabetes or insurance medicals. These are your people who don't look like typical type 2 diabetes. They're too young and they're too slim. And they are different, and they can be diagnosed by a genetic test. We've done tests on them, and they don't have any long-term microvascular problems. And importantly, they do not respond to standard treatment. They stay well controlled, whatever you give them. So what we urge people to do is to give them nothing and make sure that they are recognized as having something different from type 2 diabetes. So there's a second group of patients called HNF1 alpha MODY, also known as MODY 3, and these patients typically present with symptomatic diabetes as young adults. They can have blood glucoses that are very high as 300 or even 500 milligrams per deciliter, and they are often slim and look like typical type 1 diabetes. What's different about these patients is they have a family history. They will always have a parent who also had diabetes and often presented at a young age. What makes them stand out from type 1 diabetes is they never become insulin dependent. They always make C-peptide, even after 5 years after diagnosis. And also, they don't have autoantibodies. And if these patients are really important to recognize, the reason they're important is because they are very sensitive to sulfonylureas. On a tiny dose of glyburide, maybe a quarter of a tablet, they can get excellent blood glucose control. They're actually 4 times more sensitive than type 2 diabetes on these medications. And that means when you diagnose them, you can actually take them off insulin and put them onto sulfonylurea tablets. So it's a very important diagnosis to make because it alters treatment. So if we think about a more general question, well, how do I make the diagnosis of these genetic diabetes? The first thing you need to do is clinically recognize them. And if you have trouble with this, I would urge you to go to our website, which is www.diabetesgenes.org. And on there you'll find a MODY calculator, which actually you can put the simple clinical characteristics of your patient in, and it will say how likely they are to have MODY. If that is high, meaning the risk is greater than 25%, I would urge you to get genetic testing. Genetic testing should be for the type of MODY that you think they're likely to have. This is important because it's going to alter their treatment. It'll alter the treatment not only for them if it's positive, but also for other members of the family. So what we need to do is to move from these being thought of being a rare subtype that we never see to recognizing that we do see them, but we don't recognize them. So it's a case of looking out always for unusual diabetes. So just to summarize there are common forms of monogenic diabetes, also known as MODY, or maturity onset diabetes of the young, two main subtypes which are actually very different from each other. The first is glucokinase MODY, or MODY2, and they have this very stable blood glucose throughout life, and they do not need any treatment. They will not get complications, and treatment does not alter their HbA1c. The second group is MODY3, or HNF1-alpha. These patients will have a high blood glucose. They will develop complications if not treated well, but making a diagnosis allows you to treat them with very low-dose sulfonylureas. There's one final group to tell you about, which is much rarer than the first two groups, but is vital and relatively easy to spot. The bottom line is that every patient who is diagnosed under 6 months has monogenic diabetes and does not have type 1 diabetes. This is really important because about half of those patients will have a mutation in the sulfonylurea channel or in the either in the SUR1 bit or the KIR6.2, and these patients, although they are insulin dependent, respond to high-dose sulfonylureas and can actually have superb blood glucose control on high-dose sulfonylureas without hypoglycemia. In our recent trial, we actually found that 90% could stop their insulin, and that in every single person who stopped the insulin, the HbA1c was lower without an increase in hypoglycemia. So if you have anybody in your clinic who's diagnosed under 6 months, make sure they get a genetic diagnosis. We do offer a service on our website, www.diabetesgenes.org, where we will offer free genetic testing for people in this particular age group. So what have we heard at the ADA? We heard from the Chicago group, who have been doing some very exciting work with a registry and are bringing together a lot of clinical expertise within America. We've heard about new genes being developed by new sequencing techniques. But for all these new technical findings, I think what's most important is that there's a lot of patients out there who are not recognized and they need to be found and their treatment made better. Okay, so what we are left with is the fact you have patients who are sitting in your clinics who have monogenic diabetes, but they are not diagnosed. What you need to do is go out, think about the possibility that it might not be type 1 or type 2 diabetes. In the right patients, perform diagnostic genetic testing, and when you find a gene, then change their treatment. By doing that, you make an enormous service for those patients and for their families. And that's what really matters in monogenic diabetes. Thank you very much.